This morning's public read of God's Word comes from 1 Samuel chapter 20. So take your Bibles and turn with me if you want to join with us to 1 Samuel chapter 20. We're going to be reading the first 23 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 20, beginning with verse 1 and the first 23 verses. This is God's eternal word once again. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my iniquity? What is my sin?" Excuse me, before thy father, that he seeketh my life. And he said unto him, "God forbid. Thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." And David swore moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thy eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Then said Jonathan unto David, "Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee." And David said unto Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asketh leave of thee, that he may run to Bethlehem his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family." Now that was a lie. And yet, he's the sweet psalmist. That was a lie. "If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him." So that was David's plan, to basically flush out King Saul, his real desire. "Therefore, thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into the covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father?" Jonathan said, "Far be it for thee, for I have known certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee. Then would I not I tell it thee?" Then said David to Jonathan, "Who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answereth thee roughly?" And Jonathan said unto David, "Come, let us go out into the field." And they went out both of them into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, "O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time, all the third day, and behold, if there be good towards David, and I then send not unto thee and show it thee, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace. And the Lord be with thee, as he had seen with my father. And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also that thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord had cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies." And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved them, for he loved them as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and shall remain by the stone Ezel. And I would shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, Go, find out the arrow. If I expressly say, now this is Jonathan's plan, if I expressly say unto the lad, Behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, then come thou, for there is peace to thee and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say thus unto the young lad, Behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord between thee and me forever. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. So, what's happening here? Well, it's quite evident. If we go back to chapter 19, if you still have your Bibles open, look at verse 23. Look at the last 2 verses of chapter 19. So we know that 19 does flow into chapter 20. So the chapter division here, for some people, would kind of cause in their mind that something breaks off and then something new starts. It doesn't. There's a continuation of the storyline. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. That's when Saul shows up, and the Spirit of God falls upon him, and he goes into ecstasy. He goes into prophesying. And he, Saul, stripped off his clothes also, and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, lay down naked all that day and all that night. Whereof they said, quote, Is Saul also among the prophets? Unquote. So notice in verse 23, this occurs in the city of Naoth. And David fled, verse 20, verse 1, from Naoth in Ramah, and came and said before Jonathan, etc. So chapter 19, we have the continuation of this jousting, if you will, between the king and between David. Okay? God's Spirit in chapter 19 comes and basically puts a period to King Saul's comma in an attempt to kill David. So God comes down and basically puts a wall in front of King Saul and thus protecting David by having the Spirit of God fall on King Saul. And King Saul goes into this day and night experience of simply uttering the word of the Lord. Now, apparently, that would have gave David enough time to do what? Escape. Good. Good call. All right. Now, look at that passion in verse 1. David's passion. What have I done? That seems to be criminal is in the act of doing something, and he's apprehended in the very act of doing something he shouldn't be doing, right? He's about to be cuffed, and the thief says, What have I done? What have I done wrong? Like, you know, he's being ignorant. Here he is committing a crime. Cops come, the lights go on, cuffs come out, whatever. What have I done, officer? What was I doing wrong? Well, here's David. What have I done? What is my iniquity, and what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? I think David said that with tears in his eyes and a whole lot of emotion coming out of his chest. David here, I think, is simply at wit's end. What have I done? What have I done? And he said unto him, Jonathan then goes into this little spiel here, verses 2 and following. God forbid that thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. I think Jonathan here, to a certain degree, was being awfully kind to his father. Okay? I mean, Jonathan, great man. He was a great friend of David. I mean, Jonathan did put his neck on the line. But I think in that instance there, in that verses 2 and 3, I think Jonathan really didn't see the bigger picture, I think. I could be wrong, but that's how I read that. David swore moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes." David says, your father knows that we're buddies. And saith, "Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." And that's a phrase that we even use every day sometimes. And yet, it comes out of a King James Bible. Then said Jonathan unto David, "Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee." So look at that. Look at the friendship between Jonathan and David, especially based on Jonathan's verbiage. David said unto Jonathan in verse 5, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon." That's the beginning of a new month based on the new moon, based on that lunar cycle. "And I should not fail to sit with the king at meat, but let me go. I'm going to hide myself in the field unto the third day at even." Notice, third day at even. Isn't it amazing that the same 3 days and three nights with Jonah, the 3 days and three nights with Jesus in the tomb, here we have this 3 days. Well, you also have to include the three nights as well. And then we got at even, the beginning of a new day according to Jewish reckoning of time. "If thy father at all miss me, then said David earnestly, ask leave of me that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for the family." That was a lie. That was a lie. David's going to spend those 3 days out there in the field. He didn't run home to Bethlehem. Because David now has to wait for Jonathan's answer. When Jonathan does confront his father on the status, as we shall see. Okay? And so Jonathan concocts this plan where David's going to be out in the field at a designated location. And then Jonathan's going to have his bow and his arrow with him. He's going to have a little servant guy go out there in the field. And based on the trajectory and how far Jonathan's going to shoot these arrows, that's going to be the signal to David that my father is in love with you, or my father still has intentions to kill you. So that's what we find here. Okay? So that was a lie, unfortunately. All right? And then, just before they make this plan with the little boy and the bow and the arrow, we look at that verse 16. So Jonathan made a covenant. Notice how these guys did their friendship. It wasn't simply dropping a few lines and you kind of hold a person's words in suspended animation because you can't trust what they say. Like today, beloved, we make covenants, we make promises, we even exchange marriage vows and break them without batting an eye. But in this time frame, in this culture, and in this mindset, Jonathan and David don't simply just shake hands and say, "Howdy doody, we got a plan." Beloved, they made a covenant with the house of David. Not just with David, but with David's house. Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, taking an oath, because he loved them, for he loved them as he loved his own soul. So notice the attachment of what true friendship is. It's more than just shaking hands or signing on the dotted line, beloved. These guys entered into a covenant. They came into a covenantal agreement. And normally when a covenant was sealed in the Old Testament, what normally occurred at the same time? A blood sacrifice on an altar. Now, it's not mentioned, but maybe it was done, because every other covenant, even when God entered into a covenant with Israel, blood was sprinkled on the people as well as upon the book of the Word of God. When God made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, that was a blood covenant. When Abraham was told to offer up Isaac, his son, he took him up to a mountain, beloved, to perform a bloody sacrifice. Jesus died to inaugurate and to initiate the new covenant, not only in his physical death, but in the shedding of his blood. Now, it doesn't mention it, but I see a lot of covenant being made in the Old Testament, and there was a sacrifice involved in the shedding of blood and the killing of an animal. So maybe that was done. We don't know. Verse 21, and behold, I will send a lad, saying, go, find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, then come thou, for there is peace. So that was plan A. Plan B was verse 22, but if I say unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee, meaning they're way out there in left field, behold, the arrows are beyond thee. Go thy way, for the Lord had sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord between me and thee and me forever. That's the reference to that covenant. They swore and made that covenant between themselves in the face of God at the same time, and probably ratified in a sacrificial offering. So there it is. There it is. So now the question is, in our next reading, when we do return back to 1 Samuel 20, what is Jonathan going to discover when King Saul notices that David's been gone for several days? That will be our next reading. Amen.